May I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Okay. If you're a Martha, put up your hand. Come on. Martha's, put up your hand. Mary's, put up your hand. Martha's, have it. No surprises there. The short passage appointed for this morning's gospel, Luke describes Jesus' visit to the house of Mary and Martha. And in John's gospel, we encounter both the women as sisters of his friend Lazarus, but Luke doesn't give us any of that biographical detail. This is a story, it's one of those stories that the Christians over the centuries have loved to moralize about. It's a story that has given rise to two strong archetypes, a Martha and a Mary. They're epithets for the competing tensions in the spiritual life. And the tradition has popularly read Jesus' rebuke of Martha to justify placing contemplation before action. The church has often taught that the life of contemplative withdrawal is a higher calling than that of the active life, which of course is sullied by the taint of the world. However, we should hold this passage within the larger context of this section of Luke's gospel that we have been listening to over successive weeks. Jesus is on the move. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's making his pilgrimage. And like all pilgrimages, it's the journey that is transformative rather than the arrival. And along the way, Jesus uses incidents and events to teach his followers what it means to travel the way of discipleship. And last week we had the parable of the Good Samaritan, and when taken together with the story today of Mary and Martha, the focus is on the tension between action and contemplation in the Christian life. In the Good Samaritan story, Jesus seems to commend the Samaritan for his action. Go and do likewise, Jesus says. And in Martha and Mary, in his rebuke of Martha, he seems to be advocating the very opposite. Now, beginning with the sending out of the 70 to all the towns of the Galilee, the connective tissue in this section of Luke's gospel is the importance of hospitality. Hospitality is the central attribute for those who travel along the discipleship trail. And the story of Martha and Mary and its larger archetypal projections of doers and prayers, of action versus non-action, focuses on the centrality of hospitality in the spiritual life. Hospitality, or the lack of it, is the key theme that connects all of these passages. Martha practices the responsibilities of hospitality. She welcomes Jesus and she busies herself with the necessary preparations of a host upon the visiting of a guest upon the doorstep. Mary practices the responsibilities of hospitality in her welcoming of Jesus, what he brings and who he is. But Martha has something else going on inside her. there's often a danger of feeling aggrieved or feeling put upon that can afflict those of us who are drawn to the active side of the spiritual equation. Jesus does not rank Martha before Mary. He does not rank Martha beneath Mary. It is to Martha's accusative sense of grievance that Jesus speaks sharply. We become busy and we use activity to distract ourselves from something that is feared to be more challenging. Being preoccupied with action avoids needing to go deeper. Noise and action cover our anxiety concerning silence. And if we have nothing to do, then what might happen in the seemingly empty spaces that would open before us? And for most of us, Descartes' declaration, "I think, therefore I am," easily degenerates into "I do, therefore I am." Action and contemplation are the opposite sides of the same coin. Both are essential elements for a balanced spiritual life. And action ceases to hold the spiritual value when our busyness causes us to feel resentful. We become resentful, feeling aggrieved as our actions slip, often imperceptibly, from a generous regard of another's need to the meeting of our own. Contemplation is the development of a capacity to sit in silence in order to welcome God speaking through the spaces between actions, the spaces between words, between thoughts. Yet it ceases to be of any spiritual value when it degenerates into self-preoccupation. Now, I struggle with my own personal impoverishment. I do not possess the reservoirs of charity and compassion towards others that lead me to automatically place their needs before my own. I lack the reservoirs of courage and resilience that would otherwise propel me to get involved in another's struggles. I find myself turning away from opportunities for Christian action, and I fail to stand in solidarity with others at points of crisis because I am afraid of what such involvement will cost of me. I fill my time with busyness, always having something to do, something to worry over, something to be preoccupied by, because this is an easy way, not of actually helping others, but of serving my own needs and avoiding the challenges of contemplation. Yet without the renewal of contemplation, my actions lead me only towards burnout. I also am deeply drawn to the idea of contemplation, and I have a wonderful fantasy of what that should look like. Yet my experience of contemplation is usually a frustrating one. I never get to that state of awareness I long for. I continually fail to achieve the degree of spiritual high that I crave. Meditation as a practice of contemplation becomes an arid experience, a kind of emptiness where I interpret emptiness as an absence, something missing. The great 20th century contemplative Thomas Merton, in one of his books, Contemplation in a World of Action, observes that as long as a man thinks that the solution to his identity crisis consists in achieving this capacity for self-assertion, we can have no peace. The problem is that there is too much me, too much I in my contemplation, as there is too much me, too much I in my action, leading only to burnout. If my contemplation does not open me to the sense of spacious hospitality within which God is welcome, then it fosters only a frustrated sense of isolation. And the reproach of my ego, I can't even do this properly. Note the verb do, as in accomplish, in this reproach. Now, temperamentally, each of us has a default towards one of the poles in the tension between action and contemplation. Some of us are very action-oriented. Probably most of us are very action-oriented. It's an Episcopalian condition. Others of us are more withdrawn, inwardly focused. And the task is to balance our predisposition through the cultivation of its opposite. In each practice, however, the essential element is that of a spirit of hospitality, which is a spirit of curiosity, a spirit of openness, a generous welcoming of otherness. And when we work to reduce the centrality of our own ego, it becomes possible to become transformed into a conduit for the Holy Spirit, the love sharer in action. Jesus tells Martha that Mary has taken the better part. Both women practice hospitality, but Martha's practice leads to resentment against her sister. And when action is not rooted in contemplation, what results is resentment and exhaustion. And unless we first find our self-reflection, the picture of ourselves, in the silence with God, we won't be able to distinguish ourselves from others in the sphere of action. We cannot truly see others around us. We only see our own projections onto them, and we suffer their projections onto us. In action and contemplation, the enemy of hospitality is what Merton calls self-assertion. And being aware of the tension within us between hospitality, that spirit of curiosity and openness, and our need for self-assertion, imposing ourselves on others, including God. As we sit in our awareness of this tension, here we will find the compass settings for undertaking our spiritual journey. Amen.